city built on fratricide. That is the legend Rome told about itself, that its founder, Romulus, killed his own brother Remus before laying the first stone. Most civilizations mythologize their origins with glory. Rome chose blood, that tension between ambition and order, between the hunger for power and the fear of it, became the defining engine of Roman history. And it all crystallized in 509 BCE, when the Romans did something radical. They threw out their king. Lucius Tarquinius Superbus, Tarquin the Proud, was the last of Rome's seven kings, and his expulsion was not just a political event, it was a psychological wound that never fully healed. The Romans didn't simply remove a bad ruler, they abolished the office entirely. The word king, rex in Latin, became so toxic that for centuries, calling a Roman leader a rex was practically an accusation of treason. Now, that kind of institutional trauma shapes everything that comes after. The republic they built was not designed to be efficient. It was designed to be safe. Every structure, every rule, every tradition pointed at one goal. Make sure no single man ever holds that much power again. Think of it this way, Michael. Suppose you survived a house fire caused by a faulty electrical system. You wouldn't just replace the wires. You'd install smoke detectors, circuit breakers, and fire doors. That is exactly what the Romans did with their government. The most visible safeguard was the consulship. Instead of one leader, they elected two consuls simultaneously. Each held the power of veto, a Latin word meaning I forbid, over the other's decisions. One consul could cancel the other's orders on the spot. It was deliberately inefficient. Gridlock was a feature, not a bug. The key idea here is that the Romans weaponized shared power as a defense against tyranny, and it worked, for a time. But the system had a deeper foundation than any written law. It rested on something called the Mos Maiorum. The Mos Maiorum, the ways of the ancestors, was an unwritten code. No statute book contained it. No court enforced it directly. Yet for early Romans, it carried more weight than any legislation. It prioritized ancestral custom, collective duty, and personal discipline over individual ambition. A Roman senator who violated the Mos Maiorum didn't face a judge. He faced something worse, social death. His peers would turn their backs. His reputation, the thing Romans called dignitas, would collapse. Remember, in a society where your family name was your currency, that was a devastating punishment. The Mos Maiorum held the republic together through sheer cultural pressure. But pressure without release eventually breaks things. And that is exactly what happened when the plebeians, Rome's common citizens, decided they had been excluded long enough. The patrician elite controlled the law, but they kept it unwritten and unverifiable. A plebeian accused of a crime had no way to know if the rules were being applied fairly, so they fought back. The result, around 450 BCE, was the Twelve Tables, the first time Roman law was carved into public stone for all citizens to read. Michael, that moment matters enormously. It was the acknowledgement that law must be visible to be legitimate. Legal procedures became public. Accountability became structural, not just cultural. The Roman Republic's genius, and ultimately its fatal flaw, was this. It built a system so obsessed with preventing one kind of failure, monarchy, that it struggled to adapt to others. The Mos Maiorum gave Romans a shared identity and a break on personal ambition. The dual consulship gave them a structural check on executive power. The Twelve Tables gave common citizens a foothold in a system designed by elites. Each piece was a response to a specific fear. And together, Michael, they created something genuinely unprecedented, a republic that lasted nearly five centuries. The takeaway is this: Rome's early stability was never about strength at the top. It was about distrust built into the architecture. The Romans understood, in their bones, that the most dangerous man in any room is the one with no one left to tell him no.